Bending Light, Chapter 11.
Look up, just a little bit, and don't blink.
Lavender waved a mascara wand precariously close to Hermione's eyeball.
How am I supposed to not blink when you're jabbing at me with that thing?
I'm not jabbing, I'm applying.
And you're going to have it all over your face unless you sit still and stop acting like a baby.
Hermione huffed, but went completely still. Lavender leaned in, mouth open in a little O, eyes intent, and swiped quickly and expertly. She leaned back after a couple of moments with a satisfied look.
There, now your eyes really stand out.
She stepped away from the mirror they were standing in front of, and Hermione peered at herself. Along with the mascara, Lavender had brushed various powders and creams onto her face and lips, and Hermione had to admit the effect was nice. Her eyes did seem to stand out, and she looked more colourful and vibrant somehow.
Very pretty.
She looked at Lavender and nodded. I like it.
Oh, good. I was worried you were going to be one of those I hate makeup types,
Lavender said, and she applied the mascara wand to her own eyelashes.
I don't hate it. I've just never used it.
Hermione shrugged as she caught her hair into a twist at the back of her head. It was too bloody hot to leave it down.
Well, with those dark lashes and brows, and your annoyingly clear skin, you don't actually need it, Lavender said. But it's nice anyway, and you look gorgeous.
Thank you, Hermione smiled at her. You're looking rather luscious yourself. Lavender had done something with her makeup that made her look like a dewy frosted peach.
Looking forward to seeing the new arrival tonight?
She asked with a pointed look.
Theo had told them about Blaise Zabini's appearance a few days ago, and Lavender had been surprisingly excited by the news. Hermione wasn't sure how she felt about it herself. They'd gotten comfortable in their little group with their budding friendships. She guessed tonight would be a test of those.
Lavender preened a little in the mirror.
Maybe. I still can't believe you have a thing for him.
I know, Lavender sighed.
I guess I have a self-destructive streak, but he is fucking gorgeous. He's even better looking than Draco.
Hermione privately disagreed with that statement.
He just seems really cold to me.
Unlike with Theo, she had no trouble recalling Blaise's face. His beauty was almost unearthly, but it was also marred by her habitual attitude of disdain. A cold fish. Hermione couldn't see ever finding someone like that more than superficially attractive.
He can be warm when he wants to.
Lavender shot Hermione an enigmatic look, and Hermione shook her head, not wanting to ask. She was sure Lavender had gotten up to all sorts of things in her bid to get over Ron.
Are you ready?
Hermione adjusted the collar of her dark blue dress and bent to strap the chunky Mary Janes Lavender had insisted she wear with it.
Make your legs look endless.
Lavender cocked her head.
Would you do something like that to my hair too? It's so hot and I'm shit with updos.
I can try. Hermione was doubtful as she regarded Lavender's long, silky locks. I wish I could use my wand, although let's face it, I am rubbish with hair spells as I am with muggle hair techniques. Lavender giggled and Hermione stepped behind her, then started pulling her fingers through the thick, dark blonde mass. It was slinky and slippery, so different from her own texture. She worked and tugged, concentrating on checking in the mirror until she heard Lavender's soft voice, which had lost all traces of humour.
Hermione?
Mm-hmm? Hermione was attempting a tricky bit with a clip.
Do you ever get scared?
Hermione's hands instantly stilled, and her eyes went to Lavender's in the mirror.
About the war?
Lavender nodded once.
All the time, Hermione said quickly. Me too.
It was almost a whisper.
What do you get scared about?
My friends, and my mum and dad. What would happen to me if the other side won? What about you?
I get scared about nothing being the same, about all the good things being gone.
Lavender glanced away.
My parents won't speak about the last time round, but I have an aunt. She's younger and we talk sometimes, and she's told me what it was like.
She looked down at her folded hands and then up at Hermione with a grave expression.
And I worry about you too.
Hermione just looked at her with a sad grimace, until suddenly Lavender turned and pulled her into a quick, fierce embrace.
I'm glad we got to know each other, she said. I'm glad we got to be friends.
Hermione felt tears spring to her eyes.
Me too,
she mumbled against Lavender's now ruined hair, squeezing her back tightly.
And we just won't let them win, will we? There are powerful forces on our side, and I truly believe that good will prevail.
Most days. Lavender released her and nodded.
You're right, and it doesn't do to get down over things we can't control, she said,
wiping at the underside of her eye and looking sharply at Hermione.
Don't smear your mascara, she said. Do like I am.
Hermione reached up and tentatively dabbed the wetness away.
And you realise, she said, as she gathered Lavender's hair up again, her tone lightening, that we're doing our part by running a highly localised campaign here, against these two, well, three, now, converting them to our side, bit by bit.
That's one way of putting it, Lavender laughed and raised a brow. Hermione swatted her shoulder.
Oh, you know what I mean. We're all getting to know each other, becoming friends. And that's the key to breaking down prejudice and eroding bigotry.
She snapped the clip into place for emphasis, then stepped back.
There, what do you think?
Lavender turned her head this way and that.
Very nice.
She spun around and saluted.
Now, let's hit the battlefield.
Welcome. Theo's smile was brilliant as he threw open the door to the flat.
Lavender leaned forward and gave him a hug and a kiss on the cheek. Hermione manoeuvred around the parcel she was carrying to do the same.
Thanks for having us, she said, returning his grin, thinking again that the night was going to be interesting.
The first time they were just casually meeting up to hang out, no agenda in place. Theo seemed to catch her thoughts because he leaned down and kissed her cheek in return, whispering,
"It will be fun. I promise,"
into her ear as he pulled away. Hermione smiled up at him. Lavender was already off towards the kitchen, calling out how fucking amazing the flat was.
"These ceilings!"
She stopped and pointed up to the soaring heights.
"I know. So different from ours, right?" Hermione said.
"So different.
Where can I put this wine, Theo?"
Lavender held out two bottles of Prosecco she and Hermione had settled on bringing, after a protracted debate, at the market.
"The fridge is here," Theo gestured. "We also have an ice bucket, because this flat is full of extremely random items in cupboards."
He pulled out a big silver pail and started filling it with ice and water.
"Very posh,"
Lavender said in an exaggerated accent.
"Is that something to eat?"
Theo looked at Hermione's parcel.
No, something to listen to. It's for Draco," she said, wondering where he was.
"Part of his education."
"My education? How intriguing."
Hermione spun and couldn't help a stupid smile from spreading over her face.
"There you are."
He smiled back and Hermione felt a distinct increase in her heart rate, probably because he looked ridiculously handsome in jeans and what looked like a linen button-down shirt, creamy white and with the sleeves rolled up over his forearms. She shook her head a little as he blinked and then looked up and over her.
"Theo, they don't have drinks. What kind of host are you?"
"Fuck off, I'm chilling the wine."
"Hi, Draco."
Lavender waved from where she was arranging a platter of cookies she'd made.
"Where's Blaze?"
"Lavender,"
he lifted his chin.
"Arriving imminently, I'm sure. What would you like to drink?"
He glanced at Hermione too.
"We have beer, your wine, red and white still wine, vodka, whiskey. I can do gin cocktails."
My, Lavender laughed and looked at Hermione. We should hang out with the Slytherins more often. Don't get much more than warm beer and a packet of crisps at a Gryffindor party. Seriously. Hermione's mouth was hanging open and her eyes widened as she also took in platters of antipasti and sweets arranged on the counter and the table, obviously bought in from Theo's restaurant.
Well, we didn't know what you liked, so we sort of bought one of each, Theo said with a shrug. We also have Coke and tonic to put with the vodka. Or the gin? Or the whiskey? I suppose we do have a lot.
He started laughing.
Well, I'll have a vodka and tonic, Hermione said, blurting the first thing that came to her mind. She drank them one night with a muggle friend at winter break, and they'd been fairly inoffensive.
Thank you very much.
And me, Lavender called. Sounds refreshing. This bloody heat.
Draco nodded and moved to the kitchen.
I haven't forgotten about that.
He pointed at the parcel in Hermione's arms as he brushed past her, his clean scent also whispering by. She gave him a look. Meet me in the sitting room and I'll tell you all about it. His brows flicked up once, then he turned to help Theo with glassware. A distinctive crack sounded somewhere from the back of the house.
I told Blaze he could apparate in and out of the back bedroom, Draco announced in response to the surprised looks from Lavender and Hermione. It's more of a closet, really. No windows or anything. He's comically helpless at non-magical means of transportation.
I'm sure we could have said the same about you not a month ago, Theo quipped, earning a rude gesture from Draco.
Lavender laughed and posed against the counter as they all heard soft footsteps in the hall.
Hi, chaps.
Blaise Zabini's distinctive form came into view. Dressed in an oversized muggle t-shirt and some fancy type of jogger, his tightly curled black hair longer and more undone than Hermione had ever seen it. He looked relaxed. Hermione was vaguely surprised by his choice of muggle over wizarding wear, and then realised with a strong jolt of surprise that they were all dressed like muggles, and it hadn't even struck her until now. She allowed herself a tiny smile. Maybe there was more to this exile plan than just protection.
And ladies?
Blaise amended, nodding at Hermione and throwing a quick half-smile to Lavender. He was still breathtakingly handsome, with cheekbones that could cut glass, and dark, dramatic brows. The flash of his white teeth against his dark brown skin was enough to flame Lavender's cheeks.
Hi, Blaise, she said in a breathy voice, shifting against the counter and crossing her legs at her ankle. Her extremely short corduroy skirt pulled up a fraction, and the sunflower on her crop top stood at attention.
Blaze's smile widened.
Looking good, Brown.
There was suddenly a lot of something in the air of the kitchen. Hermione caught Draco rolling his eyes, and Theo snorted out a laugh as he turned with a drink in each hand.
Ladies, something to cool you down?
Hermione put down her box and took her drink gratefully, murmuring her thanks, then drank rather deeply as a little flourish of nerves assaulted her. This night felt like the beginning of something, and she didn't know quite what.
So, and what's in the box?
Theo said, sweeping it up and heading into the sitting room. Hermione trailed after him and threw a look in Draco's direction. He met her eyes and nodded, then followed them.
I have to admit, I'm a little jealous that he got a present, Theo pouted.
When you ask me if I can help you land something muggle, maybe you'll get a present too, Hermione said tartly, wrestling the box from him with a wink. And besides, this is something everyone can enjoy.
She placed it on a low table near the couch and sat down on the floor, arranging the skirt of her mini-dress so she wasn't flashing anyone. Her gaze darted up to Draco, who settled on the couch near her. I found it at the Mercato della Pucci the other day, she said to him, pulling out a large silver rectangle. The Signora said her son had gone away to university and didn't want it any more. Draco was looking confused, so she explained. The Mercato is like a second-hand shop, where people come to sell things they don't want anymore. And this? She gestured to the box, now sitting on the table. Is a radio cassette player. And these? She dug into the box and pulled out a bag, which she dumped on the floor. Are cassettes. Spilling all over the place, some of the tapes were in cases and some weren't. Some of them were store-bought and some handwritten. There were at least 30 of them. Hermione looked up triumphantly. Each one can hold around 20 songs. There is so much music here. She glanced around as Lavender and Blaze stepped into the room too. Draco was looking down at her with an expression that she couldn't read, and she noticed Blaze's eyes on him. He started and bent his head, reaching down to sift his hand through the tapes.
This is brilliant, Hermione.
His eyes went to hers.
Thank you. And what do I owe you?
Hermione waved her hand impatiently. Nothing. The whole thing was the equivalent of 3 sickles. This, she thumped the player, is not particularly high quality. And these, she picked up a few of the tapes. I don't even know what's on half of them. A lot of the hand-lettered ones are in Italian, although most of it seems to be from about 10 years ago, she murmured, looking through the titles. The 80s, she picked up a mixtape and read. A New Order, a Psychedelic Verse, Crowded House, Joy Division, The Cure, Echo and the Bunnymen. That's a funny name. She wrinkled her nose at Draco. He chuckled and held out his hand.
Let's listen to it. It's a music player,
Blaze was saying as Hermione hunted for an outlet and plugged in the cord.
Yeah, Theo said. A part of Draco's full muggle conversion.
Hermione threw a quick look to Lavender and raised her brows. Lavender giggled and raised her fist in the air.
I'm not even going to ask.
Theo shook his head. Hermione smirked at him, then took the tape out of its case, showing Draco how it went into the player and what the symbols meant on the buttons. Blaze wandered over to watch them.
So this has lots of songs from different artists on it?
He asked, crouching down next to Hermione. She met his dark eyes. He was almost flawless up close. Yeah. You can transfer songs from other cassettes onto a mixed one, if you have the right kind of machine.
That's cool,
he said, picking up a tape and peering at it. His eyes went back to hers, and Hermione had the distinct impression that he was reading her, gauging her, and she wondered why. She tore her eyes away. I can't vouch for most of this, she said, looking at Draco. A lot of this music is a bit before my time.
Well, here goes, Draco said,
widening his eyes and pressing the play button. A dramatic and melancholy sound filled the air. Guitars and drums and an atmosphere that reminded Hermione somehow of the Forbidden Forest, or walking alone the shore of the Black Lake at night. Everyone looked at each other, and she realised with an inner laugh that they were all nodding in time to the music, an attitude of listening on their faces. Score another point for the muggles. The song had Hermione captivated too, and she picked up her drinks as the lyrics started, moody and dark. Something about a moon and a killing. This is giving me goosebumps, Lavender squealed, rubbing her arms.
Yeah, it's dark as fuck,
Blaze said, looking at Hermione with an amused glimmer in his eyes.
I like it. Me too.
Draco's soft voice came from above her.
I don't know. It's a bit creepy.
Theo gave an exaggerated shudder as he drained his beer. Oh, there are a lot more, Hermione said.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Leave it on. We'll see what comes up.
Theo smiled at her warmly.
You want a refill?
Hermione looked with surprise at her empty glass. Yeah, I guess I do. She hopped up. I'll help. Anyone else? She collected glasses and followed Theo into the kitchen. Behind her, she heard a new song come on, decidedly lighter. I think you'll like this one better. She handed Theo Lavender's glass.
Oh yeah, this is good for dancing.
Theo put the glass down and suddenly grabbed her around the waist, spinning her as she shrieked in surprise.
This isn't that kind of song, she said, laughing as he pulled her against him, but letting him sway with her.
He looked down at her.
And that's too bad.
He was giving her some version of his look, but it didn't seem put on this time. Hermione sobered. She heard Draco's voice in the other room, her eyes locked on Theo's, clear and blue and intent on her. What was she doing? What did she want? Hermione breathed in and spun away, ducking out of his arms and going to the fridge.
Was everyone having vodka? She asked, her voice determinately light.
Theo's tone was also nonchalant.
I believe so.
He stuck his head through the wide doorway and queried the room, then nodded back at her. They fixed the drinks and silently Hermione was half worried that he was going to do something awkward. But he didn't. Instead, just lifting a half smile at her as he backed through the door. She came out a moment later and he was in the window smoking. Hermione drifted over and sank into a plush armchair, just as another song came on, one she knew. She hummed along and made a very conscious decision not to feel bad about Theo. He certainly didn't lack for attention, and it wasn't like he'd said anything. He must just be so used to girls falling into his lap. She shook her head and refocused on the room to see Draco's eyes on her. He'd accepted a cigarette from Theo and looked so elegant sitting there smoking that he seemed from another era. Hermione resisted the urge to be rude and wave the smoke away.
"So, Blaze," she said into a slight lull in the conversation that had been quietly buzzing between Lavender and him. He looked at her attentively. "Theo says you're here for a while."
"Yeah," he said. "My mum has a villa nearby, about 20 minutes away by Muggle means. I'm going to stay there for most of this month and next, until we go back to school. If we go back to school."
Hermione nodded, her eyes darting to Draco. No matter what, he wouldn't be going back. She felt a stab of sadness for him and wondered if Hogwarts meant as much to him as it did to her. Blaze saw her look and his face softened as his eyes slid to Draco too. He lifted his brows slightly at her and took a breath, his shoulders rising and falling.
"And Lupin told you where to find everyone?"
Hermione glanced at Theo, who had given her the rundown on the way to and from class the last few days.
"Yeah. Phoenixed here, in case you need a reassurance."
Blaze's mouth twisted into a smirk as Hermione nodded with her own half-smile. He leaned forward and rubbed his neck.
"I've been helping them a bit, just passing along information when I get it."
His eyes cut to the side and he looked uncomfortable. Hermione realised how vulnerable putting this out there must make him feel.
"That's amazing, Blaze."
Lavender turned to him, her eyes huge.
"Yeah, that's great," Hermione murmured, surprised again by him.
"It's not a lot."
He held up his hands.
"I'm no hero."
"It's quite a lot,"
Draco cut in. Hermione's gaze went to him and saw him looking at his friend with concern. Blaze looked back at Draco and it flashed on her that they really cared for each other. She hadn't paid a lot of attention to the intricacies of Slytherin friendships at Hogwarts, but Theo had said Draco and Blaze were close. On the heels of that, though it was second, that she was glad Draco had someone here. She knew he must be facing a lot right now, and she wasn't sure he'd be able to talk to Theo about it. Blaze rolled his eyes and smiled.
"But you should all come out to the villa one day. It's gorgeous. 16th century, lots of columns and tropical plants. The pool is insane."
"Oh, a pool?"
Lavender looked at him avidly.
I would kill for access to a pool.
No need, darling. Just come through. Any time. Draco was there yesterday. Nice, isn't it, mate? It's gorgeous.
Hermione was doing some rapid calculation in her head. 20 minutes away. Isn't that outside the wards? She asked, her concerned gaze travelling to Draco. He rolled his head from side to side on the couch back.
Yeah, but it feels safe. It's very private. Very big gates,
Blaise said.
Magical wards of its own, too.
Hermione still wasn't convinced it was a good idea. Well, whatever. We don't have to decide now. Although a pool... My gods, Hermione! Lavender sighed dramatically.
Have to say I am with Lav on this one, Theo said, rejoining them. And let's take this party out there some night.
Any time,
Blaise said again, and it struck Hermione how different he was in this company. Well, I think it's time for some bubbly. Lavender got up and straightened her skirt. And I made cookies! Lav is like a really good muggle cook, Hermione told the rest of them, as Lavender disappeared into the kitchen. She could definitely feel the effects of her two drinks.
So is Draco, Theo said with a laugh.
Really? Blaise and Hermione said at the same time, both whipping their heads towards Draco, who lifted a shoulder.
I mean, making a tomato sauce and boiling some pasta is not haute cuisine, and it's hard to go wrong with the ingredients here.
He made a bruschetta the other night, Theo said.
Again, toasted bread with olive oil and tomato.
Draco waved a hand. Theo wagged a finger at him, and Draco rolled his eyes and then got up to flip the cassette, which had ended. He looked at Hermione as he did it, so she nodded to indicate he was doing it right. Lavender came back in with a bottle and cookies and passed them around.
Okay, she said, plopping back down in her seat. Real talk. Two questions. Number one, what do we miss most about magic? A thing or a spell or whatever you want to say. And number two, what do the muggles do better? Theo, you go first.
What? Why me?
Theo's dimple made an appearance. Because I really want to hear your answer, Lavender said with faux urgency. Come on, I'll go next. Theo tapped his chin.
I miss...
Can't say the first thing that came to his mind in mixed company.
Draco's old smirk was in full effect. Hermione laughed as Theo gave Draco a two-fingered salute without looking at him.
Okay, this is boring, he finally said. But I miss Accio. All the fetching and carrying, especially at work. If I could just summon a fork from the kitchen after some little kid drops it for the fourth time.
He shook his head as the rest of them started laughing.
You lazy wanker.
Blaise shook his head.
Pardon me? You have no idea what you're talking about,
Theo said, with an exaggerated glare.
And what do the muggles do better? Lavender prompted,
moving in her chair to swing her legs over the arm. Theo's gaze flicked up and down her body, a good amount of which was on display.
The clothes, he said with a wicked grin. Especially the girls' clothes.
Theo? Hermione chucked a handy pillow at him. Lavender just batted her eyelashes and kicked a lazy foot in his direction.
What?
He said, fending off the missile.
I'm sure Draco and Blaise agree. Wizarding robes are dowdy and cover up all the lovely bits.
Oh no, Draco doesn't like muggle girls' clothes, do you? Hermione said, laughing as she turned to him. He rolled his eyes and she turned back to the rest of the room. He thinks they're too short.
Bullshit!
Theo coughed into his hand as Blaise started laughing. Draco was shaking his head with his eyes closed. Suddenly he opened them and slanted a look at Hermione.
Just because I notice something is short, he drawled, a slight slur to his words, doesn't mean I don't appreciate it.
The whole room erupted in whoops at his remark, and Miney felt her neck and then her face get hot.
Oh, she said, looking down.
Oh.
And more bubbly, Lavender called, descending on Hermione with the bottle. Also, it's my turn. She settled on the floor next to Hermione, who was still reeling a bit from the implications of the last exchange, and leaned her head on her shoulder. What I miss is all my divination stuff, Hermione groaned. Shut up, you.
Lavender poked her.
It's fun and I enjoy it. And the Muggle versions of it all pale imitations.
What do you like most about living here? Hermione asked, lunging forward and grabbing one of Lavender's cookies off the tray on the table.
There are a couple of things. Which to say?
Lavender stared off into the distance.
Say both, Hermione said. There are no rules here. Okay, well, I really do enjoy Muggle cooking.
Lavender nodded at Draco, who nodded back.
I like the time and concentration it takes. It's not all just wave a wand and it's done. You put a bit of yourself into it, and it's very satisfying.
And very delicious, Hermione declared, as she shoved the rest of her cookie into her mouth. She caught Draco's amused eye as she chewed blissfully.
And, Lavender put up a finger, I just like the sheer variety.
Of men? Hermione muttered to the side. Everyone cracked up, and Lavender swatted her hard on the shoulder, although she was laughing.
I meant of experience, you bitch, Lavender objected.
Hermione just kept laughing, listing to the side until she realised she was leaning against Draco's leg. She straightened abruptly.
Who's next?
You are, Lavender said. Hermione sobered. What did she miss about magic? Everything. Everything. It came out a near whisper.
Oh, Petal!
Lavender squeezed her to the side. Hermione looked around.
It's just different for me than it is for you, right? I lived in this world,
she waved her hand around, for 11 years before I found out there was something beyond. Something incredible. You all have always been aware of my world, but being let in on yours was the most amazing thing that I think will ever happen to me. She looked down. So I miss it all. The lore, the spells, the unexpected things I learned every day.
The room had gone silent when she looked back up, and she felt a flash of embarrassment. Had she gone too far? Opened up too much?
Do you ever practice with Wandless?
Draco's voice came from behind her, and she twisted in surprise, her brows drawing together.
Wandless?
He leaned forward, a shock of his white blonde hair falling over his forehead. He pushed it back.
Yeah, just to keep your hand in without giving yourself away. I use a Wandless language clarifier in the shop sometimes. It's a short little incantation under the breath.
I hadn't thought of that, she said slowly.
I'll teach you that one and a couple of others if you'd like,
he said, leaning back.
That would be brilliant. Thank you.
She felt a smile curving her lips, and she kept looking at him until someone cleared their throat.
It was Theo who said, But there must be loads of things that the Muggles do better, right?
Hermione swung back around to him and the others.
Yes, she said decisively. Loads.
Examples?
Asked Blaze, cocking his head. A particularly exuberant and charming song had just started blasting from the little player, so Hermione pointed to it.
Music, definitely.
And books. She twisted around to Draco again, but just briefly. He nodded.
I mean, there are some magical books that are absolutely incredible, but our Muggle fiction writers are better, I think. And I know this will be controversial, but I prefer Muggle art too.
The comment resulted in a mini commotion, since one thing all the purebloods seemed to agree on was that art didn't have moving figures, couldn't possibly be as good.
You're all wrong, Hermione talked over them. A part of the problem is that you've never seen any good Muggle art in person.
Draco started to say something, but she turned and shot him a look over her shoulder.
And reproductions in books don't count. Well, if you weren't such a stickler for going outside the wards, maybe we could go to a Muggle museum, Lavender said, in a wheedling tone. I know there are some very good ones just a train ride away. Oh, I see exactly where this is going.
Hermione put her finger in Lavender's face. You weaken me with the temptation of a museum, and the next thing I know we're hanging out at Blaze's pool every day.
Wards? What wards?
Lavender started giggling and fell over as Hermione yelled that she could see through her and the boys' laughter.
Here.
Theo eventually said through the melee, his voice getting on towards slurred.
Is there any more of that fizzy wine?
Lavender held up the bottle.
Nope, empty. I'll go get the other.
She hopped up off the ground and looked in Blaze's direction.
Anyone want to help?
Yeah, okay.
Blaze smiled and stretched up out of the chair. Subtle, Hermione muttered as they went through to the kitchen. Draco and Theo both snorted, and Theo got up and walked over to Hermione, then pulled her up.
What? Where are we going? She asked, suspicious.
Just offering you Blaze's chair so you don't have to sit on the ground anymore.
Theo made a gallant little flourish, and Hermione dropped into the soft armchair.
Thank you, sir. She nodded regally and stretched her legs. That is more comfortable.
She smiled up at him and then glared over at Draco, who was lounging in the corner of the sofa, his posture more loose than she had ever seen it. She couldn't seem to prevent herself from being aware of him in this room, his motions and reactions, the way he shifted against the sofa or sipped his drink.
Hey!
She suddenly sat up.
You never said yours.
Oh dear, that's true, he said softly,
his eyes hooded.
You have to, Hermione said.
Do I?
He seemed to settle even more deeply into the sofa. The corner of his mouth went up as Hermione started to gesticulate.
Come on, you git, Theo added,
but half-heartedly.
All right, all right.
Draco held up an elegant hand. Blaze and Lavender re-entered the room just then, and Blaze topped up Theo's glass.
Draco's turn, he asked. Unfortunately.
Draco moved up and looked skyward.
What do I miss? Oh,
he snapped his fingers.
Easy. Dreamless fucking sleep potion. What I wouldn't give for a vial or 20 of that.
Hermione felt her brows draw together. She caught Theo's sending a sympathetic look in Draco's direction, just as Blaze gave him a sharp glance too. Of course. Trauma. Trauma disrupted sleep. Hermione felt a deep pang of sympathy. Draco did often look tired, even if he was less wan and pale than during the school year. If she had trouble sleeping sometimes, how difficult must it be for him?
I can get you that, mate,
Blaze was saying.
I have a few vials at home right now. I'll snap over and get them, and leave them with you tonight, and I'll pick up some more tomorrow. Yeah?
Draco straightened factionally in his seat.
That would be brilliant. Thanks.
He gave a quick chin flip to Blaze, who returned it.
Any time.
The music stopped and Draco leaned over to turn the cassette. He seemed to be really into it.
And what about the Muggle world? Lavender asked.
She sat next to Blaze on the couch, now twisted to face Draco.
What is Draco Malfoy's favourite Muggle thing?
Her voice held a teasing note, and Hermione felt her heart seize a tiny bit at the phrasing of the question. If Lavender looked over at her, she would kill her.
You've all said it so well, Draco said,
straightening in his seat as another jangle of guitar chords filled the air. Theo was lighting a cigarette and wordlessly offered one to Draco, who accepted it, then reached for Theo's lighter. Hermione got the distinct impression he was stalling as he lit it and took a couple of drags from the cigarette. Finally, he exhaled and spoke.
"The variety of experience, the books and music, cooking and, yes, even the clothes."
His grin flickered briefly.
"All of that is..."
His voice softened.
"Good. Marvellous."
He took a deep breath and seemed to be lost in the patterns of the smoke as he blew out slowly. "That's amazing," said Hermione's voice, although she was certain she hadn't given her mouth leave to talk. Draco's eyes went to hers, surprise and a slight question in them. She sat up and cleared her throat.
"I mean, considering who you were, it's heartening. If you and Theo and Blaze,"
Hermione gestured at Theo and glanced at Blaze quickly,
"can change your minds in a small and big ways, that means that others can and will. I just think it's great," she finished lamely,
staring at the floor and feeling heat creep up her neck to her cheeks. The room was silent for a moment, and then,
"Thanks for your help with it,"
came the soft reply from Draco's end of the couch. Hermione looked up and he was looking at her too, his face unguarded for once. What she saw there made something surge through her. He held her gaze for just a fraction too long for comfort, and the tension in the room started to stretch. Hermione opened her mouth, but at the same moment Draco broke the contact, a grin spreading over his face.
"And the bike," he said. "Let's not forget the bike." And so even though the Wizarding World doesn't have formal titles, there is similar structure to the Muggle aristocracy.
Blaze was waving a cigarette in the air, and his drawl was very pronounced, which Draco knew were two sure signs that he was absolutely rat-arsed. Draco raised a brow at him.
"It's true. I did my Muggle Studies project on it."
"You were in Muggle Studies too?" Hermione grabbed the arm of her seat and stared at Blaze with open amazement.
"What?" Hermione said. "What did I say? I didn't know so many of you were interested."
At this, Draco really lost it, leaning his elbow on the arm of the sofa and covering his face, and his shoulders shook. He could hear Theo was weak with laughter too.
"What?" Hermione yelled.
He was... forced to take it," Theo gasped, wiping his eyes.
"What?"
Lavender looked at Blaze with round eyes, but he was totally sideways in his armchair, head tilted back and eyes closed.
"What ever?"
he sang to the room. "Forced to take a class," Hermione said, her brow adorably furrowed. "I didn't know they could do that."
"Neither did we," Theo said. "But McGonagall overheard him speaking some of that pure-blood rubbish we used to spout."
"And?"
Draco took up the narrative.
"Even though he signed up for ancient runes, when his schedule came out it said Muggle Studies instead. Tried to go to runes too, didn't you?"
Draco pointed at Blaze.
"And got zipped right back to the Muggle Studies room. Just some kind of castle magic."
Theo whooped at this.
"I was there. Oh, fuck, that was funny."
"Anyway,"
Blaze said, straightening up,
"the point is that I did a project mapping the Muggle aristocracy to the Wizarding Worlds, and you ladies are in the presence of a couple of lords."
He pointed a finger at Draco and Theo.
"Oh, shut the fuck up," moaned Draco. "Here, has the cassette ended? Let me find a new one."
He scrabbled around in the pile on the floor at his feet.
"Yeah, Blaze, no one cares about that shite,"
Theo said, leaving himself up and lunging for the last of the cookies.
"It's actually fascinating," Hermione said,
squinting hard at Theo and then Draco. He resisted the urge to make a face at her, and instead just took a deep swallow of his wine.
"What would they be?"
she continued, still eyeing him.
Other than wankers?
Blaze muttered. Hermione nodded mock seriously, and Theo pushed at her with his foot. She had somehow ended up on the floor again, a circumstance which was rather trying to Draco's attitude of nonchalance, since she was wearing a dress and kept leaning and toppling over.
Well?
Blaze rubbed his chin.
My conclusion was that
he pointed at Theo,
would be like a baron? A minor title, but still Lord Knot.
Theo rolled his eyes.
And he?
Blaze circled his finger and pointed at Draco.
Would be something like an earl or a viscount. Courtesy title for the eldest son of a duke, you know.
Draco blew out a huge breath. Blaze apparently wasn't finished.
And the Blacks would be something big too. So you'd probably be the son of a duke and the grandson of a duke.
Hermione, who was retwisting her hair on top of her head, let out a long, low whistle. "Ooh, no wonder you were such a twat," she said to Draco, her eyes huge. "I mean, they're all horrible. Overbred, entitled. Although the one prince is rather dishy." She stared into place.
"Exactly,"
Blaze said, as Lavender cracked up and Draco got up and flipped them all off.
"I'm not a duke, or heir to a duke, or whatever,"
he said with finality.
May as well be,
Theo slurred.
No, it's totally different.
Draco felt a point coming on, and he wanted to make it.
It's the titles themselves, you see. They're so in your face, such signifiers, flags of wealth and privilege, planted here, there, and everywhere you go. Lord this, lady that. We don't need any of that.
No, you're more exclusive. Because you just expect everyone to know you already, Hermione stated tartly, draining the last of whatever she was drinking. Draco felt himself sputter, and she shook her finger slowly in his direction, and Lavender cracked up. The son of a duke and grandson of a duke, and only heir to each. It explains so much. Hermione fell over laughing. Draco looked for the pillow she'd chucked at Theo earlier, and then threw it at her as everyone cracked up.
I'd burn it all down, though.
Theo's voice came suddenly out of the din.
All of that shite.
He was serious, and his tone quieted them all instantly.
When I inherit, if I inherit, I don't want any of it. I'll turn Knott House into a Muggle museum, or an old folks' home or something.
He shuddered.
You're saying you'll give up all the cash?
Blaze had opened his eyes and was looking at Theo in surprise.
I mean, I'd keep enough to live on, but I'm done with all of that. Done with my father and all his shite. Once he goes to prison, it's over.
Draco felt his steps moving him out of the room and towards the kitchen, away from the murmurs that had arisen in response to Theo's comments. He walked to the kettle and took it to the sink, staring at the water as it rushed from the tap. Is it hard for you to listen to that? Hermione's voice came from behind him, and he whipped around. She was leaning in the doorway, arms crossed, her head tilted against the frame. He turned back to watch the level of the kettle, his shoulders suddenly tight.
Just because I'm not showing off for attention doesn't mean I don't think about the same things.
Shite. He must be more drunk than he'd realised. He heard her move off of the doorframe and into the room as he set the kettle to boil. He turned and leaned against the counter, watching her as she took a bowl from the stack on the table and served herself a wedge of the tiramisu Theo had bought from the trattoria. She walked to the counter and leaned too, dipping her spoon in and bringing it thoughtfully to her lips. He tried not to watch her mouth and failed. "Do you think about them?" she asked. Her dark eyes serious on his. He gave her a look. What? She said, waving her spoon around. I don't know. I don't know anything about you. Didn't she? He was silent for a long time until the kettle clicked off. He turned to locate the tea and pull a couple of mugs out of the cupboard.
Maybe I'd give it all up too, he said quietly.
Really? She said. And what would you do if you weren't being Draco Malfoy?
Her voice was also quiet, almost gentle.
He passed her a mug.
Careful, it's hot.
She put down her bowl and took it with a nod and a quick thanks. He leaned back against the counter and sighed.
And I don't quite know. I guess that's part of what I'm trying to figure out.
That's fair.
They both looked up as a loud burst of laughter came from the other room. Draco sipped.
But maybe I'd buy a bookshop in a little Italian town.
He looked over at her as the corner of his mouth went up.
I guess a motorcycle.
Her lips curved slightly too, and she looked at him for several beats.
That sounds nice.
He kept her gaze, and the thought of closing the distance between them, of kissing her, flooded his mind. What would she do? What would she feel like? As he watched, the smile faded from her face and her eyes darkened. He put down his mug, thoughts of lines and crossing them, and whether or not he should blur the copious amounts of alcohol he'd consumed, but by desire. Her lips parted and he thought she made a movement to put down her mug too when Theo swung through the door, yelling something about the song that was playing in the sitting room. Something about it being one they'd danced to at the disco. He grabbed Hermione's free hand and tugged her out of the kitchen, as she laughed and protested. Draco caught a glimpse of her dark eyes as she looked back at him, along with the strangely flat look Theo threw him over his shoulder. Were they in competition now? Draco shook his head and lifted his mug to his lips again. Staying out of the fracas that he could hear beyond the door, it looked like a dance party had broken out. Blaze came in, shaking his head.
Madness, he said,
his teeth flashing in a quick smile.
Better off in here, Draco said. You want a cup?
He gestured with his mug.
Nah,
Blaze said.
I was going to nip over and get you that dreamy sleep before I forget about it.
His eyes cut to the doorway. Draco knew he was referring to the possible end of the night activities with Lavender.
Sounds good.
Draco pushed up from the counter and led Blaze down the hall to the back bedroom, waiting a brief moment as Blaze disappeared and then reappeared with a cluster of small vials in his hand.
Thanks, man, he said, taking the potions.
The cool glass seemed to hum with magic and the promise of relief.
No problem, Blaze said. And I'll get you some more before those run out too.
He shuffled his feet.
Are you okay?
He finally asked.
Otherwise?
Well, this will help, Draco said, as they walked out of the room and he ducked briefly into his own bedroom to place the vials on his nightstand.
But I'm feeling better. Every day here. Good to hear it.
Blaze clasped his shoulder briefly.
Now let's go make sure Theo isn't making a complete arse of himself.
Undoubtedly too late, Draco said, as they entered the sitting room again. The dance party seemed to have died down. Someone had lit a fire in the huge fireplace. Very likely Theo, and very likely with magic. Granger was on the floor, legs extended, her head on a cushion. Her hair had come down at some point, and it was fanning around her in a halo of sorts. Lavender was draped over an armchair, her eyes at half-mast. Theo was in the window again. The whole scene spoke of the end of the night.
You're drunk, Granger, Theo was saying.
You're drunk, Hermione pointed at him without lifting her head.
All right. Well, you're also mad.
You're both obviously drunk, Draco said,
stepping gingerly over Granger's prone body and suppressing most of the thoughts that went with the motion.
But why is Granger mad?
Hermione shifted on the floor as he passed and stared up at him with bright eyes.
I have a theory.
Shocking,
Blaze murmured, as he shoved Lavender over and settled into the chair with her. Draco raised his eyebrows and Blaze flicked his toys in return.
No, it's really good, Lavender said through a yawn. Thank you, Lavender. It's about the sorting hat, Hermione said,
sinking back on her cushion and closing her eyes. Draco took advantage of her lack of awareness and Blaze's distraction to stare at her beautiful face. As he watched, she put her hands up behind her head and tilted back into a stretch, which exposed her long neck and lifted her. Theo cleared his throat loudly, and Draco settled back in the corner of the sofa. "So all this muggle versus wizarding talk had me thinking," Hermione continued. "What if the hat doesn't magically rifle through your head at all? What if it's much more simple than that, and all the poems and chats inside your head are just put-ons?"
"I didn't get poems or a chat," Blaze muttered. "It just yelled Slytherin the moment it touched my head."
"Same," said Draco. "Well, some of us got chatted to. It really thought about putting me in Ravenclaw," Hermione said.
"Yes, we had that conversation too," said Theo.
"Mm-hmm," added Lavender. "Anyway," Hermione flapped her hand, "and my theory doesn't have to do with all of that. What if," she sat up and looked around, "the hat simply takes your temperature, like in a very minute way, and if you're the coolest, you're in Slytherin, then Ravenclaw, and if you're warmer, you're in Hufflepuff, and the warmest, you're in Gryffindor."
The room was silent for a few moments, until Blaze started to laugh. Theo joined in, and Draco felt his own grin emerge before he could stop it. Even Lavender started to crack up.
"That is the biggest load of..."
Blaze couldn't finish speaking. He was laughing so hard.
"I told you," Theo howled. Granger looked around, and her face settled into thunderous lines. "Fuck all of you," she said. "It's a sound theory."
"It's not," Draco said, swiping at his eyes.
"It is."
She was up on her knees now, with her hands on her hips, glaring at him.
"Granger, what two houses were you almost sorted into?" he asked, leaning forward.
"Ravenclaw and Gryffindor, I already said."
"So you say you were on the border between the two?"
"Yes."
"But on your scale, what's between them?"
He leaned pretty far forward now, and she was still glaring at him, sparks practically coming out of her ears. Then realization dawned.
"Oh, Hufflepuff."
She blinked several times at him, her face relaxing and her arms dropping down to her sides. She was so fucking captivating. Draco itched to reach out, wrap his hands around her waist and pull her towards him. If they were all alone, he would have done it. The room had gotten quite quiet, and Draco wondered why Theo's latest cock block hadn't arrived. Then he realised Theo had disappeared, probably in the loo.
"Well," Hermione's let out a gusty sigh, "I'm no bloody Hufflepuff, that's for sure."
Everyone laughed at that, and she turned to lean against the couch, right close to Draco's legs.
"It was a lovely theory, though," Lavender said from her chair.
"It was almost a great theory,"
Draco said. To his surprise, she tilted her head and tapped his knee with her temple. He restrained himself from reaching over and touching her hair.
Lavender yawned hugely. "I am suddenly knackered. Are you ready to go?"
She looked at Hermione, and a little conversation seemed to pass between them in slightly widened eyes and tiny nods. Blaze looked confused, and Draco snickered quietly. Guess Brown wasn't as sure as a thing as he'd assumed.
"Yeah, I am."
Hermione started to get up off the floor, and Draco rose swiftly, then offered his hand. Hers felt warm and soft in his, and she squeezed it slightly and thanked him before she let go.
"Shall we?" she said to Lavender. "Are we walking, right?"
Lavender groaned.
"Can't we just apparate from the back bedroom?"
"Oh gosh, I suppose so." Hermione's eyes flew to Draco's.
"Of course," he murmured. "I'll show you the way."
He started leading Hermione down the hall after she had gathered her bag. When they got to the doorway to the bedroom, he realised Lavender hadn't followed.
"Are you coming?" Hermione shouted towards the sitting room. "Won't be a mo," Lavender's reply floated in. Hermione leaned in the doorway and sighed. Her dark eyes went to his. Well, anyway, thanks for a lovely night. I hope the clean-up isn't too atrocious, she said. Draco grabbed the top of the doorframe with one hand and leaned down.
I'm sure we'll end up using magic. I'll close the shutters or something.
He shrugged, noticing that she was just staring at him with a sort of glazed expression on her face.
And thank you, he continued, after a moment or two, for the music.
You're welcome, she said softly, and Draco was again overwhelmed by the urge to do something really stupid, like press her up against this doorframe and kiss her until neither of them could see straight, walk her into his bedroom and slam the door. Instead, he cleared his throat and stepped back. Luckily, because Theo's cockblock was incoming this time, gliding down the hallway with a parcel he was holding out to her.
"Extra tiramisu," he said. "Take it, please."
Hermione thanked the smarmy bastard and kissed his cheek as Brown finally swooped up, looking a bit mussed. "Are we ready, or do you three need to discuss something?" she asked, with a wicked little smile. Draco didn't miss Granger's face going bright red. "We're ready," she ground out, as she grabbed Brown's arm. "Thanks so much to the both of you." She turned and said in a much softer tone, with a brilliant smile. "Yes, that was lovely," Brown added. "Let's do it again. Soon. And ours. Ta-da!" Draco's last glimpse of them before they disappeared was of Granger's dark eyes and flushed cheeks as she called good night.